chapter number 30. Genesis 30, verse 37. We'll look at a couple of verses here. I'll give you the rundown here. Look down in verse 31. Remember, at this point in time, I'll give you a little history, then we'll pray. So Jacob has served Laban for 14 years of his life and makes a deal with Laban about the cattle. Remember, he's been tricked a couple times. And Laban's found out that Jacob is, when Jacob is with him, he's very prosperous. He multiplies the ranching operation, and so Laban wants him hanging around, and so Jacob makes a deal, and Laban makes a deal with Jacob about the goats that he's got, and says, you know, I'll take. Jacob says, I'll tell you what, I'll you give me these goats, and I will whatever color is produced, or the ring streaked and all that stuff spotted, I'll give you this one, and then I'll take these other ones. I'll just read it to you. And so he's going to make a little deal with Laban for his future. Verse 31, we'll start there, and then we'll pray. It says, and he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. When it shall come for my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Okay? Now here's kind of what we're going to get to. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and pilled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and he brought forth cattle ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves, put them into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and he had much cattle, and maidservants, and men servants, and camels, and asses. All right, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you three or four things here, because there's some principles at work where Jacob is building a flock, and there's some principles at work that are spiritual principles as well, and that it works as far as building a flock, and there's a great illustration, great things at work that we can learn from. So let's pray, and I'll give you three or four of these things here. Father, I thank you so much for your words. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray that you'd help us. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help us understand and make application with the principles that we're reading about. But thank you for a good week. Thank you for just how you've ministered to us this week. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Jacob, the idea of DNA and gene manipulation is not really a new idea. I guess it may be new in a science lab or something, but it's not really new in the idea of producing what you want to produce, because that's what Jacob goes into. He goes into gene manipulation and DNA manipulation in order to produce exactly what he wants produced. And he's been shepherding, he's been ranching, he's been taking care of herds and cattle for a while now, and he has a good understanding. If you remember at the beginning of this chapter, when he meets some of Laban's ranch hands, and they're trying to think they're trying to gather up the cattle during the day or something like that. And I didn't go back and read it, but anyhow, he tells them, you can't do this in the midday. You need to feed and water and stuff like that. And so he gives them a little bit of, you can tell early on that he's got some idea of how this all works. And when Laban, in this chapter, wants to keep Jacob around, and he's already tricked Jacob for 14 years of his life, Jacob agrees on these terms that if I keep your flock, then whatever is produced in this color and this pattern, those will be mine, and then you can have the rest. And Laban, I don't know if he just doesn't believe Jacob's smart enough to figure out how to produce the colors or what it is, or produce the type of animals that he's talking about. Maybe Laban just thinks it's luck or something like that. But when Jacob says that, he knows what he wants to produce, and he knows how to produce it. And it's going to take some time, but there's four principles really at work. Well, I say four, I say maybe three for sure at work in this, the gene manipulation process here, if you're working in a lab or something. Otherwise, it's just breeding is what it is. And so the first thing Jacob does in verse 37, he starts to build, it looks like, some fences, or at least prepare for some separation, makes for some temporary separation between the cattle and the goats and the sheep and the goats there. And so all of these things have spiritual application. In building a flock, one of the things that you want to put energy into, same thing Jacob does, is you want to put time and effort into the spiritual traits that are desirable. And so that's what Jacob's doing. He has a certain set of traits that are desirable to him. And what he's going to do is separate out the herd it according to these types of traits. And so he corrals the certain types of traits that he wants. What would that be? Spiritually speaking, that is prayerfulness, witnessing, Bible study, people who have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. That's what you're looking for. That's going to build a flock. Someone who is hungry and thirsty for righteousness, that's what you're looking for. That's helpful. And so Jacob, he makes some, it looks like some maybe temporary fencing or something like that, but he just starts separating out the animals according to the way that is desirable. So the first thing you could say is separation, spiritually, separation. And apply that spiritually, separation. Separation, you could say, is preparation. I read about it in Proverbs. One of the first acts of wisdom in Proverbs is separation, where someone is removed or they remove themselves from an old life and start on a new path. It's like Paul said in Corinthians, you know, the old things are passed away, all things are become new. And so there's separation made. And that separation really is, it's preparation for the future. And it's the idea that your separation, I say standards, but I mean just the convictions and things that you have in your life ought to produce a better second generation. They ought to produce something better in the future, not something worse. If your fellowship produces something worse, if it produces something that is carnal, if it produces something that is not spiritual, not godly, obviously that's not what you're looking for. If the friendships are producing something that's filthy, producing filthy imagination, producing, you know, drug habits or drinking habits or whatever, I mean, that's obviously stuff that's not going to be helpful. And so separation is the first thing Jacob does. Make some separations, pick out the qualities that are desirable, and start putting the qualities that are desirable together, which will be the second point. I'll just get to that in a second, though. So there's division. Jacob separates the lambs. What is that? That's verse 40. The Bible says, and Jacob did separate the lambs. That's the principle. It's one of the best ways to separate. And I was reminded of it when by Joel, actually. But one of the best ways to make a separation when you get saved is you start talking about the Lord and people will leave. People will stop hanging around. People will stop calling you to, you know, sell you drugs or whatever. People will stop wanting to be around that. And so you don't necessarily have to, hey, we can't be friends anymore. It's like, when you call me, I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ. And then the calls will stop happening. So the separation there, that's the principle at work. And what you're doing is you are removing the undesirable qualities from the desirable qualities. Pretty simple, basic thing. Jacob's just doing it with the flock. He's just removing the undesirable qualities from the desirable qualities, making sure the desirable qualities are in point number two here, congregation. You separate, and then you corral the ones that you want together. And so now he's going to put together in verse 40, Jacob did separate the lambs, set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight, all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. So there's separation and there's congregation now. You be around who you want to be like. Somebody says, really and truly, it's true. You show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Because that's who you are. It's not that Johnny got caught up with the wrong crowd. Johnny is the wrong crowd. It's not that some of these bad guys, they sucked him into this lifestyle or whatever. He's in it because that's who he is. So this and it works on the positive side too, and it's you put together the traits that you want, or really that God wants, I should say, put together the traits that God wants, and that's what you, that, there's so much good that comes out of that. The fellowship, the congregation, the encouragement, all those things. The Bible talks about, it's over in Hebrews, where he says, "Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, as the manner of some is." And he talks about, "Don't do it as, even more as the day is approaching," things like that. But there's something to all that isolation stuff. But you make the separation. What's the traits? What's the desirable traits? What's the undesirable traits? Congregation, we're going to put together what's desirable. And really, I mean, you go through the New Testament, and that's a lot of what Paul's talking about. When he's dealing with the Corinthians, he's saying, look, this stuff does not belong in a congregation. This stuff needs to be removed from the congregation. And then he'll say something to the Colossians or the Philippians, say, this stuff is good. You need more of this. You need to implement more of this. And so it's a lot of flock management in the New Testament with just people, though. It's just people. So going back here to Genesis with Jacob, he separates the lambs and prepares for the future. And the standards of separation, like I said, ought to be able to produce a better second generation. And if it's a decline, if it's tending towards decline, then that's, you're not producing what you need to produce. And after the separation, congregation, you be around who you need to be around. You get around godly people. You hang around godly people. You participate with godly people, and be encouraged by them. And you will be. If you love the Lord, if you love Jesus Christ, you want to serve Jesus Christ, you're going to love other people who love Jesus Christ. You're going to want to be around them. You're going to want to participate with them in the ministry. And it's part of what's inside of you if you're saved. So there's congregation. There's separation, and then the reproduction aspect of it. Verse 41. Now Jacob, he's separated. He's put the ones together that he wants. And in verse 41, the Bible says, "It came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in." So he's just weeding out what he doesn't want. "So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and manservants, and camels, and asses." So this is the production. This is the reproduction. It is Jacob's breeding program, whereby he really, before this thing is all over with, well, we'll read a couple verses in the next chapter, but he has successfully bred a number of cattle, and Laban's flock is about whittled down to hardly anything. It's incredible. But there's reproduction here now. Now the stronger cattle are reproducing with the stronger cattle, and what they're producing is strong cattle. You get the idea. He's just building the flock, and he's building it for the future. And he implements certain principles that are ultimately, I mean, the world even understands these principles. Like to take certain desirable qualities and breed them into cattle dogs or whatever it is, and you take these qualities and you put them into the animal through production, reproduction, it's not a difficult concept to understand, but it's also a spiritual concept. where separation happens, congregation happens, and then reproduction happens. And then look at this. This is how this thing ends. It's pretty interesting. But look in chapter 31, and we'll wrap it up here. But 31 verse 1 says, "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock," and so on and so forth. Let's see. I want to find the specific verse. I think it's verse 10. Or no. Verse 8, he says, "If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstrake. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. It came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lift up mine eyes and saw in a dream, behold, the rams leaped upon the cattle, ringstrake, speckled, grizzled," so on and so forth. That's something else. I shouldn't have got into that. But the point is, I think it's verse 8 and 9. By the time, we read 31, by the time Jacob's breeding program is done, he's a very wealthy man. And Laban's little herd is not much. And Jacob has successfully built the flock that he wants to build. And I mean, like, if he would have said a different color, he would have just bred it out the way he said it. So he understood the principles. They're the same. It's division, it's congregation, it's reproduction. And ultimately, those things are spiritual principles. Division, congregation, reproduction. That's the process. And that's how you build a flock. And that's how a flock gets built. And that's how the Lord builds a flock. Separate out some of these things, include some of these other things, let's congregate together, and then now let's reproduce the desirable qualities that need to be reproduced. So there you go. There's some genetics all the way back in 1800 BC. Somebody using genetics to figure something out. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it, but that might be. Did y'all hear what Mary Beth said? She said since Jacob had been tricked for 14 years, what he does with the cattle, he does kind of out of spite. Yeah, like I am going to amass to myself as much cattle as I can, and I'm going to diminish your herd as much as I can because of what you've done to me. Which I can see that. I mean, I can see that with Jacob. I can see him doing something like that. No. He's a tricky guy. Yeah. He is. Yeah. There's probably a sermon in that in here. Yeah. Yeah. What'd you say, Kim? Go ahead. Yeah, y'all know with the deer. I mean, y'all know what gets produced. Yeah, yeah. He knew that. I mean, he had spent most of his life as a dealing with animals. He knew how to breed these things. And that's another. Yeah, I'm gonna walk away from this thing rich, is what I'm gonna do. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. And when he gets tricked, like, that's, I'm trying to think of his life. Is that the only time that he gets tricked by somebody? Because usually he's the one tricking people. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when he gets tricked by Laban, that's really, I don't know if that's the only time he gets tricked, but. Do what? Yeah. He is. I'll just mention this because it's so interesting with his life. When the Lord highlights the faith in his life, it's at the very end of his life. It's like nothing in his life was done in faith until the end of his life. And it's just, you read all this stuff and it's just him, I don't know, he's tricking people, he's being tricked, I think he says at the end of his life, few and evil have been the days of my life. And that's like, yeah, go ahead, Renee. Yep, he's the same one. Same guy. Yep. Oh, it's such a mess. Yeah. Yeah. In a sense. Yeah. Yeah. In spite of all of this, it's like the Lord just said, look, Abraham, I'm going to use your children, but I'm going to use these particular children. I'm going to use Isaac and then Jacob. And it really doesn't matter what Jacob does. I'm going to use him, and I'm going to get glory out of his life. And so he can make all the wrong decisions. And it's almost like what, I mean, in this case, he's making some good decisions with the flock and everything, but he can make all the wrong decisions in his life, never express any faith in God, but I'll still get the glory out of him that I've said. Like Paul said, you know, about the Israelites, you know, they didn't believe the word, and he says, well, the word of none effect. And it's like, no, it wasn't of none effect. The Lord still used the nation, even though the nation hardly ever believed God. I mean, they all went into idolatry, and it was just a mess, but the Lord still used the nation. So it's, I don't know, God's just so much bigger than everything. And anyhow, some of these things are interesting stories with people. Jacob's an interesting character here, so. No problem. I'm sure he would rather get glory another way, but, he does. Mm-hmm. Yep. And faults and yeah. Yep. Yep. He will. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for these words. Thank you for this time together. Learning a little bit of history, learning some spiritual principles and some physical genetics and things like that that teach us some spiritual principles. But thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you again for a good week. Focused on prayer, and I pray that we would remember and apply things that we've heard and make our church a culture of prayer where we are regularly relying on the Lord for help. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.